Okay, my guest on podcasting softly this morning, or the evening where he is, was my guest a year ago, but a year ago, there's one big difference. A really, really big difference. And that was the movie that we were talking about. We talked about the 20-year gestation of this movie, which finally has surfaced, pardon the pun. I'm talking about The Meg, ladies and gentlemen. Really, really awesome movie is The Meg, and my guest again on Podcasting Softly is the man responsible in many ways, is Steve Alton. Steve, thank you for talking to me again, mate. It's been a year already, huh?
Hard to believe, Ken.
It is, mate. You've got to be a happy man, right?
I'm happy at the moment. You know, it's a strange thing. I've picked up so many. I've been battered and bruised over the last 22 years, and so I never get too high about it. Never get too low.
Right, right. So I saw all the pictures as you walked the blue carpet, not the red carpet, the blue carpet. What was that like after all this, or after all this time that? That slow walk and finally into the theater and then finally seeing the movie at last.
But to be honest, I was concerned about my Parkinson's disease. You know, it makes walking difficult. So
right, right.
Sort of been looking forward to that moment and dreading it at the same time.
Right, right.
Because, I ran out of gas
yeah.
toward the end and skipped the rest of the reporters and headed inside.
Right, right.
But okay, and the movie was great. So all in all, it worked out well.
Yeah. Was it nice to meet all of the cast and all that, and the director and so on and so forth?
I met the director for a few minutes. We talked, and I met Ruby Rose, and didn't have a chance to meet the other guys.
Right. No, that's nice though, all the same. But so after your first viewing, what did you think?
I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was well done, good cast. Jason Statham was amazing, and the right tone and the shark looked fierce.
Yeah. Because I remember reading in some of the more recent press, it's funny, in reading a lot of it, it's stuff that we don't have to cover anymore. We covered it like a year ago. But one of the things that popped up that I was interested in that was something about when Jan de Bont was involved, a maquette or a small sculpture was made of his interpretation of the Meg, and he showed it to you, and you weren't happy, apparently.
No, I wasn't. It looked like a bonefish. It was like a freakish Hellboy bonefish.
Right, right.
And anything like what a megalodon should look like. So I was very unhappy with it, very concerned that it was going to destroy the series.
Yeah. One of the things, Steve, that I've found interesting during, you know, since the release, is a lot of talk about surprise. A lot of people were very surprised in the industry at how well the Meg is doing. You know, based on a lot of people always bring up the budget. So far, you know, there's been a lot of speculation. It's between $130 and $180 million. Yet the film currently has done well over, I believe, $330-something million worldwide. You've been sort of preaching to the choir for years that this would be a hit movie. Why do you think they're so surprised that it's done well?
To be honest, Ken, I'm not sure why they predicted it would do so poorly.
Right.
Unless they were comparing it to, you know, 47 Fathoms and The Shallows, which did well for their budget.
Yeah.
But it set the world on fire. And it's just a different kind of movie. And I was kind of shocked when I saw the predictions, and I said right then and there before the movie came out, you know, we're going to need a lot bigger theater, gentlemen.
Yeah, totally right. And it's really best to see it on the biggest screen possible because it is just a cracker of a great time. I mean, I know you wrote the book and everything, but were there favorite moments of yours from the movie that
things in the Mariana Trench, I thought they did that very well.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, the pace of the movie is pretty quick, so...
Yeah, yeah, it's really... It doesn't give you... There's no, like, snooze time there. It's good. It's well-paced. There's drama. There's laughs. There's a little bit of sadness. There's action. There's, you know... Yeah, everything you need. All part of your complete breakfast. I was starting to wonder, like, as seeing the pictures of you doing the Hollywood thing, whether you got to use the very heavily pun phrase, it's been a wave of emotions, you know, a lot while doing the whole walk to triumph, so to speak.
It's been a long 22 years, very long.
Yeah,
but you know,
But it's I mean they're already talking sequel now. I mean it was Statham, I believe, that made the comment, you know, if it makes money, there's always an appetite to make more money. But it's a really good movie, and surely in your mind, and I know the wish of all your fans has been that if they ever got one done and it was successful as this one has been, then this would of course draw more attention to not only the Meg series in toto, but the your other books as well, which I believe The Lock has also been optioned now. Is that true?
That is true.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. And that'll be a good one.
One other book of mine has been also optioned, but we can't announce it yet.
No, that's cool.
But talking about your point, I think The Meg is a great movie. It's a lot of fun. People should definitely go see it. However, the second movie, The Trench, if that is greenlit and moved forward, that will be a much bigger movie.
Yes.
It'll be darker. It'll be more serious. It will be much more tense.
Mm.
Much more layered story. Because of all the books in the Meg series, the first one is it's a great story, but it's the weakest of the stories.
Right.
Because it's just get the thing, you know, we're laying down characters, we're laying down arcs, we're laying down the science of why this creature's still alive.
Right, right.
Stories that progress after it are much more complex.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, the first one's always setting everyone up. It's setting the world up.
Correct.
It's setting the characters, as you said. It's setting up the Meg. I've got to say, my favorite moment, and it's probably, actually, there was a whole article written about it, was the fact that the Meg that they catch wasn't the Meg. Wasn't the only Meg in the ocean, so to speak, which was a incredible moment. I mean, they're there and they think everything's done and dusted, and then next minute, oh, heck, there's a much bigger one. And it comes in and gets the other one and also swallows a poor bloke in the water while he's goofing off. Do you think now, as we talked about this last year, do you think really that they could have pulled some of this stuff off back then when they were, you know, first talking about this, you know, back when it was all, you know, very new? Do you think they could have pulled off this movie 20 years ago?
Not. I think the special effects have grown so much over the last 20 years that it would have been difficult to get anywhere near this kind of effect.
You're right. One thing I wanted to talk to you about really briefly was that there's been a lot of talk about gore. John, the director, and also Statham went on the record. Some of the early talk before the release was about how gory the film was. Where did you stand, or do stand, on the whole gory, it's not gory enough scenario?
Well, what they said was that the stuff that was left out of the movie was very gory.
Right, right, yeah.
And I don't think the gore is necessary.
Yeah.
You know, we get it. This giant shark. You know, we don't need to see, you know, buckets of blood everywhere.
Right, right. Yeah. I always go back to Jaws was the touchstone for all of this stuff. It was a big inspiration for yourself. Jaws wasn't an incredibly gory film and survives as a classic. And there's not what you would call gore in Jaws. Or you obviously see blood. You see, you know, Ben Gardner's head, you know, floating there for a moment. But, you know, I don't think it would have been aided by any more gruesome scenes. I mean, and certainly for a really marvelous family film, which this is turning out to be, for the whole family, and the family's enjoying the heck out of it, I mean, do you think that it would be in poor taste if they had have maybe gone for something a bit stronger?
Why take the family experience away by giving it an R rating? I mean, there are so many people who want to see this. And no, I thought they did the right thing.
Yeah, totally. There's been a lot of, interestingly enough, a lot of articles that I've read in the wake of in the Meg, again, pardon the pun, as to people speculating on why it was so successful. And one of the things that popped up in all of these articles, Steve, was web lust, or, you know, the internet buzz. What you have always brought to the forefront and saying that the fans are the ones that have not only driven you, but have driven the popularity of the series over the years. That's true, right?
Absolutely. Yes. They're very, you know, it's not a huge army, but it's a very dedicated one.
Yeah. Small but potent. I love how they come up with these articles. What's the real ingredients that made it successful? The concept of the Meg, and I've watched some of the little clips of you, you know, you're giving your writing tips and stuff that I've seen. You know, if you can sum up your idea, and you've said this before publicly, in in a sentence or a few sentences, then you really got a really a winning concept. That's true, right? Like, you know, Jurassic Shark.
That's true. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. I've seen it, you know, probably, I don't know, you've probably seen it quite a few times now. I've seen it a couple of times this week, actually, and I'm really keen to go back. Everything has turned out better than expected by all, you know, by all parties. Some of the reviews were, you know, you'll scream, you'll laugh, you'll stay the hell out of the water. Jurassic Park Under the Sea. Thrill ride with stunning effects and a big sense of humor. One of my favorite reviews actually works in one of Roy Scheider's lines from Jaws, which is it'll leave your inner 12-year-old and your actual 12-year-old smiling like a son of a bitch. How do you think the future of the Meg series, just you personally, is set now based on this foundation?
Well, we're in the game, you know, that's the important thing, and it's still early in the game, and we'll see how it finishes, but, you know, there's definitely talk of sequels. I'm not going to assume anything at this juncture.
Right.
It's important that people go see the movie and go see it a couple of times, because it's actually more fun the second and third time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you start picking out things that you missed the first couple of times because you were so intensely drawn to what was on the screen that you miss little details.
That's true. And there's much to be had. But it's well done all around. I've got to say congratulations too, while I've got you, on Generations. Marvelous book too. Want people to go and check that out. SteveAlton.com. They're still selling on SteveAlton.com, Steve?
Yeah, but there's only a couple hundred left, so okay. They better grab them.
All right, yeah. Because otherwise you can still get it on Kindle, though.
Yes, you can still get the...
Yeah, and also get out and get the movie tie-in version of the Meg. That was a question I nearly forgot. For the long time, it was simply Meg, and then all of a sudden it became The Meg. Was that like a big corporate decision, or...?
Yeah, that was Warner Brothers' decision, and at first I didn't like... I've sort of grown into it now.
Yeah. Because it's sort of become, putting the on top of things, I noticed that there's a new Predator movie and it's The Predator. Anyway, Steve, it's been marvellous to talk to you, mate. Everyone get Steve's books. There's some, like you said, still available, but selling fast at SteveAlton.com. Go and see the movie. What can I say? Steve, tell them. Go and see the movie.
It's a lot of fun. Definitely a lot of fun. And, you know, we're counting on the great people in the land down under to support the movie because sharks are so popular in Australia.
That's true. We have quite a good deal of sharks here, and we got sharks in the ocean and sharks on the big screen. Thank goodness we don't have one that big because that was some sequence. Did you like the sequence where it was swimming under all those people, like on the cover of the book? Like it's swimming through a bowl of Fruit Loops. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it did look like that, absolutely.
Yeah. I understand your daughter was in one of those beach sequences or something, wasn't she? She was an extra or something?
That's the rumor, but I haven't seen her yet.
Okay. So. That's great.
Her eldest is an Asian girl.
Oh, well done. Well done. But anyway, Steve, look, man, I won't take any more of your time. It's been fantastic to talk to you yet again. It's been great. It's taken a long time. We talked about all this stuff, you know, a year ago, and it was just funny to see all the interviews pop up and asking and sort of covering the same ground that we covered way back when. Time flies when you're having fun, and it definitely flies when you're watching The Meg. That's one of the shortest, like, two-hour movies you'll see this year because it is just a truckload of fun. Statham versus the giant shark is wonderful. And Steve, mate, I've got to thank you. I always love your books. I can't wait for the next one, Purgatory, I believe it's called.
Yes.
Fans all over the world, Steve Alton. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast and Solely Steve Alton, my guest. Thank you, Steve, for talking with me again, mate.
Thank you, Kent.
Tremendous.